Okay, everyone. Well, it happened. I don't think either of us thought maybe it would. We thought it was possible, of course, but it did happen. Michigan and Jim Harbaugh have finally beaten Ohio State. I'm, of course, Nick Brombrenner, along with Brendan Quinn. Welcome back to another episode of The Beat here on a Saturday night in snowy Ann Arbor, Michigan. Where, Brendan, it finally happened after years, 7 years, a decade, I don't know. The last time they won, Sean Windsor asked, when's the last time they stormed the field up here? And I said, the last time they beat Ohio State, 2011. And we confirmed it with David Abloff. That is accurate. So it's been a long time, my man, since Michigan beat Ohio State.
How there about were days that?
It felt like it might never happen again. What are your initial thoughts here?
I mean, when I sat down at a bar in Las Vegas Airport.
No sleep here. Reporting live from the air.
Yeah, went from a Duke Gonzaga game last night. Yep. You know, wrote until the wee hours, then up and out and to the airport. Blah blah. Whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
But I sit down right at the bar.
Right.
Ask for the game to be put on because incredibly
right.
It was not
it wasn't on
at the bar.
Right. 9 a.m. Vegas time.
And the guy next to me goes, he's like, do you think Michigan can win? I go, here's what I think, man. At some point, they have to win. Like, they're not just going to lose
every
in perpetuity. They're going to win one. So if you're a Michigan fan, why not today, right? And you've been telling yourself that since the streak started. But I was watching the game. I thought if we were going into it and you were like, hey, Michigan's going to win, how do you think they're going to win? Right.
Right, yeah.
I would have thought super close game, some fluky stuff, right? Just went, kind of one of those kind of crazy, almost like that Auburn-Alabama thing that's
right,
happened a few times. Like that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Weird like the
shit.
Weird stuff. That the weird stuff that bridges the gap.
Right.
This wasn't that.
No.
Michigan just pounded
their
asses right into the... just beat their asses for 3.5 hours, and it was stunning to see.
Yeah.
So the beauty of it, though, is I was on the plane
for most of
a Detroit-bound flight, and I mean, I'm not shitting you, man.
Yeah.
97% of the TV consoles is a full Delta goddamn thing, right?
Yeah.
97% of the screens are on the game,
just everyone
and like
freaking
you can
out.
You can feel it take off because they got off to that great start, and people are just kind of. There's just an energy in the plane, and I'm just sitting there laughing. I'm like, this is going to be a really interesting couple of hours in this plane. And by the end of it, people are high-fiving. They're having a great time. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could have gone a different way, I guess, on that airplane if it went another way.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's definitely one of those games where I think, you know, the more the week went on, and the more I tried to think about it, you know, I wrote later in the week the whole thing about the 9-on-7 drill, which was the game. I mean, as we talked about, that's where it was won for Michigan. And the more I thought about it, you know, I talked with Ari and Landis on their show, and Bill had said something that kind of caught my attention in that, you know, part of his logic going into this one was, he was thinking the same way we were, that, you know, Michigan has enough guys that if it cuts right, they can certainly win the game. Sort of like Oregon did.
Sure.
But he had pause in it and saying, like, you know, he's like, they just played against Michigan State, you know, their best game in like a few years, you know, and it was pretty impressive. And then it caught me and I was like, you know what, though? They normally struggle and then play their best game against Michigan in years. And that's the story. So it made me think for a minute. If they start this game like a house of fire and they come out and we see Michigan's offensive line create holes consistently in the first quarter, which is what happened, then I thought to myself, then this is going to be a fight. And it's going to be one all the way to the end. And you know, I think it was a second or third drive. I turned to Austin. I was like, well, Ohio State's got a problem. They can't stop the run. And it's like, it's there all day. They've run everything now. You know, it was power, counter, inside zone. No matter what, they got everything. And there were cracks on every handoff for the whole first quarter. And it was like, guys, like, they're going to be in it the whole way. Because their offensive line, like we said all year, had the juice. And it had to be, you know, and we talked all offseason, I guess. Like, does it have to be elite for this team to really flip the script, or just pretty good for them to flip the script? And I think the answer was that it had to be elite, and it was. This is the best offensive line in America. It's the most dominant unit I think we've seen across the country this year. It has carried this football team, and I know Hassan Haskins has been great, and McNamara has been great, and everything else, and Harbaugh pointed to a bunch of the seniors today, including guys like Ronnie Bell and such, that you know took the team on their back and in the offseason and how important that was. But to be clear, this offensive line deserves a lion's share of credit because it was the most consistent position in the Big Ten all season long. And you, the last time anyone said that about a, you know, and the answer was a, something from Michigan was probably the last time they won a Big Ten championship. I mean, it's not a coincidence. So credit to those guys and Sherrone Moore. I think they won the game for them. I mean, like you said, it was an ass kicking. They could, they had no answer up front the line of scrimmage. And I think someone asked Andrew Stuber there, you know, when did you think the game was over? And he said it was like the first drive of the second half. When they were, when they got the ball back and shoved it down their throat to start the second half, he's like, it's over. They can't stop us. And
yeah,
and I think you could see it. And I think you could see it in how Ohio State started calling the game. And I think it just was what it was. It could, it, Michigan had it. And it was right on their form. And Harbaugh walked off the stage with a hell of a shot across the bow. Did you catch that one?
I mean, just went right to it. And I don't know.
He said he wasn't going to do it.
Was it made? Was it made a big? Was it made a big deal of?
No, not really.
Before, like I feel like you said when we were talking earlier that you thought it might have kind of just glanced across kind of people's periphery.
Well, I mean, a little bit, obviously and, they internalized it. I think
because you know. Shit, man. Well, all right. Well, tell the story. So what?
So
at what point in the press conference was
very
was the does he like that fuse?
He was very subdued as he always is for the whole thing.
What was the question?
Okay, so he the whole thing you know Harbaugh came in and it was a while because you know they stormed the field the whole thing.
Sure.
And you know he got mobbed and you know it was quite a scene and you know some of the guys had said you know he was. Unlike, you know, at a happiness degree they'd never seen before in the locker room from him. So it took a minute, and he came in, and he was pretty subdued, and he did his best not to say anything that was about anybody but Michigan, really, until the end.
Right.
And then Wojo, Bob Wodowski, asked if something along the lines of, you know, Jimmy, have you heard, or had you heard the some of the talk that had been coming out of Columbus? He didn't say Ryan Day's name or anybody specifically. He just said, you know, had you heard any, some of the talk? And I think that, you know, we all knew sort of what he meant, right? Like the COVID stuff, the hang 100 stuff. And
yeah,
Harbaugh said something like, you know, yeah, I heard it, internalized it. You know, I'm probably thinking of some of the same things you are right now. But I'm not going to add to it. We're going to take the high road here or whatever. And then he stopped and changed his mind. And then he goes, couldn't do it, right? Then the old Jim Harbaugh came back and he goes, well, you know, some people, you know, they stand on third and they think they hit a triple. Or whatever, they're born on third.
They're born
yeah,
on third,
it is,
yeah.
And whatever the line is, and yeah. He's talking about Ryan Day there, I would say. So, game on, I guess.
Juice. Oh, it's some spice.
But it was,
yeah.
It was not something that I didn't expect, I guess. I thought, I just, there was no way he was going to be able to get through that whole thing without saying something. I mean, my God, it's been 7 years of this that he's had to listen to this shit, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting for sure. Quite a day.
So, I mean, what about this game? And it's really interesting because it still comes from Michigan still operating out of the spectrum of having lost to Michigan State.
Right? Yeah,
like
right.
that happened. Now they were up 16 and blah 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 blah.
Sure.
But you know, these two programs, you know, what is the what is the takeaway of? Are they suddenly actually comparable in any way,
I mean,
right?
Think,
or is it like, hey, they got theirs. This is a very special team. You know, they're not going to have a guy like Aiden Hutchinson
right.
again.
Yeah.
This line might not be replicable a year over now, you know, but like Hassan Haskins might not score five goddamn touchdowns.
Well, yeah, but I think what this – I understand what you're saying. But I think this is – I think what this did – you know, McNamara said this at the end of the thing there. He was like, you know, now we know what it takes. Now we know what, you know, they're not robots, they're humans, you know, just like everybody else. That was proven today. We always knew that, you know, it's not some unclimbable mountain. You just had to sort of do it to show yourself it was possible. And, you know, I don't think the expectation or whatever is going to be some situation where it's like, you got to do this every year. But I think, you know, as you go forward, it's like, you know, you have to play like this. And I think more than anything for Harbaugh, because he did say, you know, the thing that I think a lot of people were struck by is he said that for him, this felt like the beginning of something, not the end of something. Like, not the culmination of, you know, 7 years of trying to get this done. It, you know, for him, he said it felt like the beginning of something new. Like, we're over that now. And now we can really start to grow as a program. And I think that speaks to a lot of things about him, all that he sort of gave to this place this year and every year, really. And I think that, this was a year that challenged a lot of people in a lot of ways that are very difficult and very hard. And part of the reason why they hired Jim Harbaugh was his ability to be really good in those moments when things are really difficult and really hard and days are shitty and you don't want to keep going. And that's like his calling card. So I think that more than anything this year, they got back to doing what they do. And they got back to playing football the way he wants it to be played, embracing it with guys that know what it takes and have what it takes, with coaches who wanted nothing more than to make sure that, you know, Harbaugh's vision for what this could be came true. Not someone else's vision, not another coordinator's vision, not... And I'm not saying that happened before, but it wasn't a selfish thing at all. This was a selfless, egoless, you know, like some of his best staffs. And, you know, as we've seen, these are hard to replicate, but I think that having done it now and done it his way, I think that was the most important thing. That's the thing that kept hitting me all game. It was like they rushed for 300 yards in this game. That never happens. It's the flip. Yeah. It's, you know, Ohio State ran 30 times for 60 yards. What did I say when we were talking the other day? It was like, this can't be the game where this offensive line comes into this thing after mashing everybody all year, and then suddenly you look up and it's like, well, what the hell happened here? You're at 30 carries for 65 yards. What the hell is this?
Exactly.
It was the opposite.
Exactly.
I mean, they showed up, they delivered, you know. I mean, best offensive line here, like, that I've seen in my time doing it by a lot, by a long shot.
That, like, speaks to that that kind of weird, overwhelming dynamic that had developed in this rivalry.
Yeah.
That, like, that Ohio State wasn't human.
Right. You just
It was hopeless. Yeah, right. Whatever you did the best, they'd
beat you.
They would make you look the worst. You know, and it would be over and over and over again. And yeah, and as that game went on, and, like, you know, the offensive side of the ball, between the running game and then defense side of the ball, like, a million degrees of credit to Mike McDonald and that group, and, you know, being able to kind of snuff out a lot of that big playability that we talked about, right? And there wasn't a lot of that bang bang.
No.
Oh shit!
No,
right?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, none of that. And you know what the other thing was here in this game? And this is maybe some of the old, and I remember we talked, like, in the summer, and a bunch of people would ask me, like, you know, Mike McDonald's from the Baltimore Ravens, right? He's going to run everything the Baltimore Ravens run. And I would joke and I'd say, I don't think so, guys. Why don't you go look and see who the Baltimore Ravens have on their team, right? They're a bunch of tough motherfuckers who don't back down from shit. I'm going to tell you what. Michigan walked out on the field today, threw a punch, and said, I dare you to hit us back. They punched him back and they said, we're not fucking going anywhere. I dare you to hit us again. And then nothing happened. They were the tougher team the whole game. And, that's the difference this year. And I think that that's Harbaugh and the whole staff really sort of embracing, this is how we're going to play football. Our best stuff is up front with that line. This should be an offensive line factory. You should be raking in offensive line. I mean, I think they have five or at least four draft picks on that line again.
Yep.
I mean, I think Fastardis at least gets a chance to play somewhere in the NFL. You just went through a couple years ago where they produced a line that had five. I mean, they've been doing this for a minute now, and I think that if you're Harbaugh, you know, they were able to sort of embrace it at the right time. They have the right backs for it. They're able to block everything. They got back to doing things the way that they do them and didn't try to do anything else. You know, if we're going to throw it 12 times this game and that's all we throw it, I don't care. If that's what we're going to do, we're going to win it. I don't care. And you know what? That's the Ravens way. And I think that Harbaugh said a couple times this year, like, we want to be like the Ravens. And I think that when he said that, he meant, like, we want to be the team that never has urine running down its legs in a fight. We want to be the team that is always still swinging, no matter what is going on. And that is ultimately Harbaugh football when it's done right. And that, I think, is replicable even if the talent isn't exactly the way you want it. I think that sort of mindset approach and buy-in is something that you can have every year here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the that like the 10,000 foot view is the most jarring thing about all of this is the total transformation of whatever word you want to use, culture, internal, the juice that is in that play. And it goes back to, you know, watching that team dance at Wisconsin where you're like, this is different. I don't remember seeing this program behave this way or even have fun. Everyone just constantly looked.
Did you see Brad Hawkins like they, come in with the chain today and the big M?
I did not see the chain. I did not see the chain. But like, this is just shit you'd never see. In years past, it's always just been like everyone's either on eggshells or they don't like each other. No one has having any fun. And then meanwhile, you go to a basketball game, right, and everyone's having a blast. And you just be like, what the hell's going on here? But the, like that... You know, you're going to lose guys, right? But the question is, whatever the shit that has happened this year and the transformation that has occurred, like, that's what you can bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And you you build on that, right? And now the guys who are freshmen and sophomores now, in a couple years, they're going to be, right, your upperclassmen. And that's how you change.
Right.
Like, we've always talked about how does this program get into that next conversation, right? And it's two, there's the two biggest things. Our depth of talent,
right,
where you're plugging you,
you just
you're
have a guy,
and you have another guy. It's that, but it's also this other thing, and it's it, that that thing that's kind of hard to get your arms all the way around of how to do it, how to build
it's your identity. It's what
that,
you are,
that, that culture, that who you are, how you act and react. That's changed, and
it really
that,
has.
It's incredible. You could have bet me any number.
I'd have put my house
at
on
this
it.
Time last year. That this is how this is going
to be. I'd be sitting in the snow right now.
Whatever odds. I would bet. You know, just to win $10, I'll be like, I'll bet $10,000 to win $10 off you because I'm winning that bet because that ain't happening. No, you know?
I mean, if you think back to last year at this time, I just like. You know, when we talked around then, like, what are they going to do? Like, what are they going to do? Remember back to, like, pre-December, before the signing.
Ward Manuel has some Manuel has some magic beans or like, something that we don't know about.
We're sitting there thinking, what are they going to do? They've got this guy who's making, you know, and I knew at that time, of course, like, and it hadn't been, we hadn't reported it yet because it hadn't actually, like, come to pass in terms of Ward hadn't talked to Harbaugh about it. But they were going to offer him the deal for less money. And it was kind of like, we'll see. Like, we'll see what happens. And everyone was sort of like, what the hell's going on here? And to go from that into January, where I feel like in January that feeling just lingered. I mean, they fired Don Brown after the, you know, they signed the re-up and everything. Everybody's like, okay, whatever. Obviously, you're firing Don Brown. Obviously, you're, you know, whatever. You're going to change your defensive coordinator. Is that the only thing you're going to do? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then the whole thing goes on and then... Kind of the more it went, the more you started to hear that things, little things here and there had changed and that he was open to different stuff, that he was listening to more people, that, you know, the youth on the staff was really stressed. You know, McDonald talked so much about, Mike McDonald talked so much about when they installed the defense this year, they made sure that all the guys on the team had like an ownership in how they installed it. It wasn't my defense that I'm teaching you or yelling at you. It was like our defense that we're building together, brand new, out of the ashes of whatever the hell that was, right? Like, that was this team all the way. The run game was rebuilt out of the ashes of whatever the hell that was. Same was the same with the defense. The whole thing was rebuilt out of the stress and disaster, more or less, that they all went through last year as a team. I mean, it was rock bottom. I mean, we've said it before on the show, but the Harbaugh way of doing things... the unchecked Harbaugh way of doing things, you know, was done after last year. That was it. It everything really about the way he does things. Not everything, but a lot of the, a lot of his sort of methods, I think, about how he goes about doing his business. Everything changed. I mean, he was more open to asking for help. I mean, case in point, Mike McDonald and Matt Weiss. I mean, he gets them from his brother. I mean, those are things that he just didn't do before. And, you know, for whatever reason, this was... This was the time that it finally clicked. I don't think there was any other choice, and poof, there you go. It all takes off.
On each side of the ball, so take out the offensive line, right? Because I don't think Well, personally, I've been awake for 8 days. I don't feel like hearing
it is true.
About the offensive line. But but seriously, though, on each side of the ball, like, give me, you know, your kind of main impression of, like, what, you know, on each side, how they swung this.
Haskins, thing. Number one, is...
beast.
Like, I often get accused of, and it's probably not wrong, of undervaluing running backs. Because I'm such an offensive line nerd or whatever. but this is one where you don't undervalue. I mean, these are guys, and especially Haskins, because I can remember when they signed him, you know, he came here and he was a linebacker. He was stacked linebacker. And then they moved him to offense and then moved him back to defense and then back to offense. I think he went back and forth twice. And they didn't quite figure out what they had in him until maybe the end or middle of 2019. But once it started to click for him, you know, I tweeted it today. There are a few people who move a pile exactly like Hassan Haskins. Like, he has this, his vision has improved so much. That, you know, this is the same guy who missed a giant hole in this game a couple years ago. You know, but all his feel for all this stuff has improved so much. But when he kind of sees where he wants to go with the ball and then senses kind of like a pile coming and kind of can get his shoulder down. Yeah, there were several times in this one in the second and third quarter where you're like, they can't stop him. Like, he's got that shoulder down and there's nothing they can do about it. Like, there was at no point in the first half where I was like, boy, they probably wish they had Blake Corum right now. Like, that's,
right.
I guess that's probably the thing that I would say is, Haskins, in my eyes, you know, I've watched Michigan, obviously, every game and back multiple times all year long. Haskins is probably the guy that I overlook the most just because I take it for granted. It's like, it's Hassan Haskins. He's a consistent football player.
Right.
But this was his day. And, you know, he gave the Nick Stauskas double kisses to the crowd after the last touchdown there. And five touchdowns on senior day. You can't script that any better. I mean, so that's him on offense. That was him. Defensively, it's Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, he's...
Oh, my God.
He's the definition of a game breaker. I mean, Ohio State jumped off sides like six times in this game. He had three sacks. Mm-hmm. I know Ojabo was good, too. But Hutchinson was the...
And some of their... The dude.
It was it.
Some of their offsides were like the... Especially at time. There was one where there was like third and one.
Yeah,
right?
A bunch of second and shorts.
They,
yeah.
All those where you're just like, man.
Horrible. They were going to get a first down. Urban, yeah,
you know,
right.
I know. It's not fair to Ryan Day to compare everything to Urban.
Well, it kind
right?
of but is just, because that's the job.
But you know, but you're just like, Urban Meyer's program, there's no goddamn way they're taking a penalty right there. There's no way.
No.
You know, it's like this. It's like Saban teams. You know, it's like there's just no way.
None of that stuff. I mean, like, the ball was on the ground. I mean, they fumbled the ball in the first drive. Stroud fumbled the first snap of the game, I think. The first shotgun snap of the game comes back and hits him in the knee or whatever. And I'm like, when that happened, I was like, okay, this is... Like, that right there, to me. When we talked last week or earlier in this week about... And I made the joke about, hey, Ryan Day, you're not looking so hot right now. Like, the real point of that was like, hey, man, you've only coached in this game one time and you did it with a complete and total Rolls Royce. This one might also be a Rolls Royce. We don't totally know that yet. Like, the pressure here that we talked about at some point had to flip. It had to go the other way to Ohio State where it was like, it's going to be more of a bear for you to drag this thing over the finish line one of these days than it is for them to break through here. And that's what this was. You know, they had the right recipe. We talked about that several times. They had enough if everything was done right and everybody played at their best. And everyone did play their best, but they had enough to do it if they could kind of elevate themselves to that stage. And to physically kick their ass like that is not something I thought would happen. I thought this would have to be cut perfectly, that they were going to give up a bunch of yards on the other side, that they were going to get the ball run down their throat too, and it was going to have to be, well, you just have to hope they miss a couple, you know, and that is not what happened. They beat their ass. I mean, it was just, there's no other way. The second half was an ass kicking completely, and the first half was probably not as close as the 14-13 score indicated, to be quite frank. So, that was something. And I guess we'll see what happens here going forward. But, you know, Michigan heading into this Big Ten championship game, which is total uncharted waters. I've got to go to Indy now next weekend, of course. So we've got to do that. I've gone there once before for the when Michigan State played it and I covered it with Griff
sure.
back in the day.
Oh, Jesus.
grip of Kyle, yeah. of Kyle Austin back in the day.
Oh, baby. But
we'll be back there again. And I guess we'll see what happens, right? I mean, like, we talked about that a second ago. Like, I would ask you the same thing. You know, Ward, a year ago at this time, what are you, like, to now, it's crazy. I don't even know what to really say. I don't think any of them really could probably script it. But I would also say this, like, a lot of those guys, and not that Ward said this, but a lot of those guys who are close to the program, they all thought this was very possible in, like, August. This is not a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily to them, and they got a lot of guys coming back now. I mean, I kind of get what Harbaugh said when he said this feels like the beginning of something. You know, they could have a really good team again next year, and they're maybe going to the playoffs here. So, like, this is possibly something totally uncharted. I don't even know quite how to unpack that. We'll do that later in the week, I'm sure. But just, I want to get your reaction, I guess, to the whole journey here, I guess, so to speak.
Oh, the whole thing.
Just the whole thing. The whole. You know, knowing Ward, knowing the whole process, Harbaugh's 7 years, the whole deal,
Yeah, I mean, starting with Ward, like...
What was on his plate, the whole thing.
The thing I say probably the most about Ward is... One of his great strengths, I feel like, is... doing a great job of not being caught up in bullshit.
Very patient person.
And other people's opinions and blah 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 blah.
Yeah, does Ward even have an iPhone?
What trends are? Yeah, like he's really old school and kind of some of his lines of thinking where he's just like, look, I make the decisions. I'm gonna do this, and he has pissed some people off, you know. And there's a lot of people who have wanted to have more access to him, you know, and within the Michigan kind of.
Yeah.
Caste system, for lack of a better term, you know what I mean? And he doesn't really play a lot of games.
No, he doesn't.
Like, and I think at the end of the day, when it came down to last year, the notion of people being like, you know, how does Michigan look if it keeps Harbaugh?
Right.
Or like, you know, all like the narrative thing. He honest to God, doesn't give a single shit about any of that. It barely even crossed. There's been things that I've like
stitched to it.
I've had conversations with him where like I was like, well, you know, what about this perception of this? And he was just, and he had been like, I didn't even know that was a perception. Didn't even know it was out there. I'm like, well, Jesus Christ. Well, I guess it's a lot easier to make decisions though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That you.
It's like, do you get internet down there, Ward, in that basement of yours? Jesus Christ.
You know, but you make decisions that you are confident in and that you believe in when you're not second guessing yourself because of outside, you know, factors and things like that. So he's done a great job of that. And, you know, I operate under the belief that Ward Manuel's number one goal, he's never said this to me, but his number one goal is to retire as Michigan's athletic director.
I would say this.
And that is a really hard thing.
It's a hard
not
thing
getting
to do.
Fired in this business is a hard thing to do. So for him to come out of this thing with losing Beeline in the middle of the night and coming out on the other side with Juwan and him being now beloved, right? Out there in the middle of the field hugging
surfing.
Goddamn Harbaugh. So they're just
they're best friends.
That's
now,
gonna be
apparently.
That image is just gonna be, you know, all over the
campus
for the next 10 years. And hitting it with Harbaugh right now, like, shit.
Well, I mean, I think this is going to be replicated in college football, man. Like, I think that this is going to... It's already been. Scott Frost got another job because of Harbaugh.
Right.
James Franklin got another contract. Mel Tucker might have gotten another contract, maybe in a way, because of what this has shown in terms of, you know, the patience. That if you have a guy that you like, that is going to get... That, you know... He's got flaws, and there's a lot that you don't like about him, Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to give you everything he's got at all times, and if he can just get it pointed in the right direction, right? And so I do think this could be replicated in other places. Like, if you got a guy that you like, but he's flawed, if you can retool it, just, you know, hit it just right, boom. You know, and it's like, and Ward Manuel has now done this twice. People were copying the Juwan Howard thing. They're now going to copy this.
Yeah.
I think this is a great point. This last 2 years has been Ward Manuel stepping up to the plate and doing everything that those people thought he was capable of doing when they hired him. When they hired him, you remember this. The big thing that day that, you know, I heard from Regents was this is the first AD that we have hired that's an actual athletic director that knows how to be an AD and run an athletic department. When the, right. when the chips went down during COVID and everything else, the president and the board and everybody else said, Ward Manuel, you got to be an AD now, my man. Step up and do it. And he's done nothing but deliver over the last 3 years. Well, and you have to note that. I mean, terrific job.
One of the interesting things with this kind of being a model for what to do with these, you know, a coach that you think is capable and just, you know, for various reasons it isn't working out and not just firing them for the sake of
starting over.
Everyone's pissed. Let's just get a new coach. There is something to be said for an athletic director having the opportunity to flip the power structure.
Yeah.
Where,
I mean,
even though you make a lot less than that football coach, right?
Yes.
At a lot of these places, the football coach is the powerful one.
I can't even
the AD.
The dynamics in this particular situation, oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes, exactly. He went from when he came into the job, everything that we talked about was like, man, Ward Manuel is going to have to be able to just massage
Harbaugh's
ego, right? And kind of keep him as a functioning member of the athletic department, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, what has happened now, it's been Ward saying,
he had to, though.
Here's how it's going to be, right? Ward has enacted change in the football department from the athletic director's office, which, I don't think that would have happened 5 years ago.
I don't know if it's ever
under any circumstances in the world.
I don't know the last time it's happened. I mean, like,
yeah,
terrific job. I mean, this is a guy that came in here at that point, and you can remember. I mean, it was 2016, wasn't it, when he came in here? Harbaugh was rocking and rolling. I mean, it was like Harbaugh Palooza when Ward got the job. But prior to Ward was like a freshman when Harbaugh was a senior All American quarterback. Yeah. Like Ward Manuel is a football guy. Football guys defer to chain of command. Jim Harbaugh was Ward Manuel's captain. And I'm telling you, folks, whether you think it's stupid or silly or what, up until maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I think that's how we still saw it. I think that's how Ward still looked at Jim. And when he had to be his boss, he was his boss.
It's probably how Jim looked at Ward.
And I think that's how Jim looked at Ward. But when he had to be his boss, he was his boss. I remember talking to you a couple years ago when they left Penn State. I was like, I don't know if he's ever going to say anything to him. I don't know if he's ever going to say, he being Ward, I don't know if he's ever going to say anything to Jim Harbaugh that's going to get through, that's going to create necessary change, because I don't know if he's going to do it. And that was the thing that I would hear from people. And to your point always, it was like, he's a very patient person. Maybe too much to a degree in some ways. But it's like, when he had to go in there this offseason and they had to sit down and hash it out, I mean, you know, and all things I've heard is Ward was there for it. Like, hey, man, Jim, I'll do this all the way with you. What do you want to do? I'm here with you all the way. You're my guy. Never flinched.
That is 100% my impression.
Never flinched. Yes. Never once thought about firing Jim Harbaugh. Never crossed his mind. I never heard that from Ward Manuel or anyone near Ward Manuel. And despite the fact that there were people around him that wanted him to fire Jim Harbaugh, he never flinched. And I think that for all those reasons, that's why that team, and Ward's part of it, you know, absolutely. He was on the field with them. That's why they feel like a family, because I think they all sort of felt that whole thing kind of come together. And when Ward kind of went to them last December, or Jim and the team, I guess, and was like, he's my guy, like, and you're my guys, let's go fix this shit, okay? And they were like, let's do it. And they went and did it. So there you go. I mean, it's crazy how it worked out. But, you know, the thing that Austin and I wrote in the summer, it all came true. That was their plan, was get Jim some guys that'll have his back and won't put up with any shit on his behalf, and we'll stick up for him no matter what. And that's what they did. And, you know, it worked out. And that includes the guys on the field. I mean, he talked about some of those kids too. So heck of a story and a heck of a turnaround. I don't know if I've seen one quite like it.
No, I mean, this is like, You write a book on this thing.
Absolutely.
This, you know, I mean, it has all the narrative elements. It has, it's quite the story arc. And, you know, here's the thing, too, that will probably get lost a little bit, I think, right here in kind of the bubble is like the program looked pretty awesome to a national audience today.
They had recruits
like,
there.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone here is just kind of can't get over the fact that they actually beat Ohio State, that they got
at the
that game looked incredible. Incredible on television. Like, it was, it looked like,
you know what the ratings are going to be for this?
outrageous. But I'll tell you what it looked like is,
when baby,
I grew up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it did.
And there was only a couple, we've talked about this before, the only games you really got to see every week was Notre Dame, Michigan, some USC, some Miami, some Florida State, you know? And I remember watching Michigan football and being like, holy shit, that looks incredible, man. Right. That, you know,
it looks different.
And that's what it looked like today. That's what it looked like today.
They're 60 minutes away from going to the playoff, and they have a very unique brand of football, and this has been what it would take for them to get to the next stage of being a team that can do this more often. And I think that their path, and we've seen it, it is to recruit the shit out of the lines, both sides, and be like, you want to be a dude? Come here. We don't give a shit. Yes. We beat the shit out of everybody who comes in here. You want to be a tough, you know, that's your sales point every time. You should get every top offensive lineman, because why would you go anywhere else? This place is turning them out, right? That's where you build it, and you play tough kids only. Nobody else comes in here. You never bring another kid in here who can't handle that. And I think that you found your baseline. And that was McNamara's point, I think, right? Like, you found your baseline level of what it takes. Never let anyone touch this team again that is going to be less than baseline level of what it takes. And, you know, that really is what it's been for Harbaugh. You know, for 7 years, it's been finding that sort of like, okay, we've got something here now. We can show everybody of like, this is what it takes to do it at this level in this league against that team. Now we can show it. There's a blueprint for it. Everything else, you can build to it. You can recruit to it. And, you know, it's real. And I think that that's different. And it's I'm curious to see how the staff does with this in recruiting, because I think it's an opportunity for them as they go forward here, no matter how the season ends, to really spin it forward.
Yeah, I mean, here's first things for, like, beating Ohio State, making the playoff, and like, that's what, regardless of what happens, right? They got to win next week.
Well, yeah, you got to get that one for sure.
Yeah, can't.
Don't lose Iowa, for God's sake.
You can't finally exercise the demons just... and then faceplant to Iowa. Is that who they're playing?
That's who they
got.
It's going to be a and rock fight.
You would have preferred the shit out of Wisconsin.
Well, no, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. Wisconsin was playing better and throwing the, but they didn't play well today, I guess.
And Wisconsin beat Iowa,
a better quarterback.
Right, if I remember.
I don't know if Iowa's going to be able to move the ball in this game. Like, Iowa's quarterback situation is not good at all. And they're tough. They're going to be tough to run the ball on. They're going to be tough to, it's going to be a physical, you know, and yeah, I mean, it's not going to be easy.
It's going to be a Michigan home game.
It'll be a Michigan home game for damn sure. Yes. Every game they play for the rest of the way, except if they play Alabama and Texas or something, it will be a Michigan home game.
Yeah.
I don't care who they're playing. I mean, they're going to, do they play Georgia in the Peach Bowl? That's the only other way that wouldn't go.
Right.
I mean, I think Georgia would be the only other fan base left, I guess. Where are they going to play Cincinnati at?
Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, they could be in the national title game, and Michigan in the national title game.
I was thinking
game,
because usually they already beat Wisconsin, right? And it wasn't even much of a game.
No, they ran them. Yeah.
But Iowa's got some of that weird voodoo shit. Iowa's got that weird Kirk Ferentz voodoo, and they just fuck up people's seasons.
They're
all
tough
the time
to beat. They're just hard to beat. Right. And we haven't seen, I don't think we've seen Michigan Iowa in a good minute, and like, this is actually, I was actually thinking this a couple weeks ago, that this would be a good year for a Michigan Iowa game, because Michigan's line is really good. Iowa's line is also very good. I mean, I think it'll be a grinder game. Harbaugh will love it. Ferentz will love it. They'll have fun. Nobody else probably will. I mean, everyone else will probably hate it, but those guys will probably love the shit out of it. So, they'll enjoy it one way or the other. But Michigan's got the goods to do it. I mean, this is, that was some impressive stuff, my man. I don't know if I've seen anything quite like that in my day here. My first Ohio State game here was a Michigan win. They rushed the field, and this is my 10th.
Wow.
This is my 10th one. That hit me today as I was walking to the stadium. My old ass walking to the...
Man. Just with your big heavy coat walking in the snow.
Yeah, that was on the way home. But yeah, heck of a day for Michigan all the way around, and a heck of a year. And for everyone who said they wanted him fired, I don't know what to tell you. He's not going anywhere now.
Oh, shit. Well, what's he have right now? Is he currently signed through 26?
I mean, I do think Jim's going to get some money back at some point.
I'm telling you right now, he's getting some money back.
He's going to get some money back through incentives anyway, but I think he's going to get some money back regardless either way. And like we talked about last week, even before this game, you know, people were over the moon with the job he's done this year. And no one wanted to say that, I don't think, because they knew how much this game meant to everybody and how much it meant to him. And I think that's the difference, right? Like, that was the thing that nagged at people that were like, you never could, the people, you know, the logical people you talk to would never fully go all the way there with, like, I don't think we should fire him. Because it would be like, he cares about the place too much. Like, he's gonna get, and that was kind of the thing with Polk to a degree. But it got to a point where it was like, no, but it's too, you know, it's too sloppy. Like, it's just, you know, I don't care how much he cares about the place. It's too sloppy. This didn't get sloppy enough. And it was like, he's going to do anything he can. He's going to give you everything he has. Like, there, that was never in doubt. He's always made team first decisions when, you know, best he can. Sometimes he's missed, obviously. But I think that was the difference here. And that was maybe the lesson that, you know, It's fitting that they're playing Iowa in this one because there's a lot of Ferentz in Harbaugh right now of just like you're riding a wave with him. He loves the place. He's going to give you everything he has, and he'll do it until he can't do it anymore. I mean, if you let him. So we'll see where this goes, but they got a pretty good thing going right now and pretty good staff too. They got to pay those guys, and they will. And I think that that's the difference for a place like Michigan. You take that money away, you can give it back because you can afford it. So, you know, I think that some of that money might be on its way back, and some of that money might be on its way to the pockets of some of these coordinators and these assistants. Mike McDonald, ladies and gentlemen, probably made himself some cash today. I mean, put Ryan Day in a box. No doubt. Oh, my God.
And so did Gattis. I mean, at what point is Gattis getting serious looks for some of these?
Yeah, Gattis will probably get looks this year. And
low-level Power 5.
I mean, I would think that... I would think Mike McDonald's going to get some NFL calls for some defensive coordinator, you know. I mean, he might have, I don't know. I don't know what his...
Take him in Philly.
I mean, I think that it seemed to me... And I think he's been nothing but happy to be here, right? And he likes it and everything else. Mm-hmm. But, like, it seemed to me that, like, this was like... Mike McDonald was like, hey, John Harbaugh told me to come here and help, so I'm here. And I'm going to come out. And that's what I'm here to do. Like, I'm a Harbaugh guy, so I'm going to come help the Harbaughs. Uh-huh. And I think that's what Mike McDonald is, so I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I wouldn't totally panic that you're going to maybe lose Mike McDonald. We'll see. We'll see where that all goes. But that's what it felt like to me. It felt like, didn't it? It felt like John Harbaugh being like, hey, go fix this for my brother, please. Like, you know, and he was like, got it. Like, whatever.
It was so totally strange. Yeah. Just for everything from the recruiting elements to everything else, we're just like, wait, what? Okay. I guess.
He hit the right buttons today, man. They had him scrambled. So
clearly knows his shit. I mean, they still get... I think they dealt with tempo a little better.
They did, and Ohio State screwed themselves.
They got popped. They got hit a couple times. But overall...
But they got better at it.
In comparison to the Michigan State game, they were better. They were better than Michigan State.
They were better at it, and they were in shape. I think that's the difference, too. You know, I mean, the strength staff gets credit in games like this when you win them because, I mean, that was the thing I noticed late in the game when they were still subbing and I was kind of like, I would stop subbing. But it's like, well, I mean, they're getting off. I mean, it's like they're not getting off any slower and they were subbing, you know, Jeter and Hinton and those guys up front and they were getting their ass off the field. Sure. So, I mean, that showed up too. You know, I think the thing that rings in my head every year at this one is the first game that Harbaugh coached against Ohio State, they got their asses kicked. And he came in, and he was still, like, walk-on-water Jim Harbaugh. Everybody thought he was the greatest thing that's ever lived, even after that loss. And he came in, and he dead serious was like, we have got to get a lot tougher than this. This is not even close. Mm-hmm. And that's all I've thought about, basically, since then. And they've been awfully close to what I would guess is his, you know, gauge of tough enough, and probably there. But this is there. This is what that, and that's what I said earlier. That's what this looks like. That's what... For Harbaugh, this is your blueprint team. This is the team that paints the road for whatever this is going to be going down, you know, this was not a fluke. This was not a team like, you know, people look back at Hoke's first team and say they got a lot of bounces that year. You know, they got a lot of things that went right for them, and they did. And it wasn't replicated. Maybe this one won't be totally, but like, this is the blueprint. And I think that this wasn't a fluky year. They had the guys to do it, and I think you can do this again if you hit it right. But got to get this one done first. Still got to finish.
And then up the road, nice win from Michigan State, too.
Yeah, 2-0. Heck of a finish there. A flu game for the Spartans, as I think that
I'm pretty
half
sure
the team was out or something like this.
The rule Franklin has to give one of his extra years to Tucker now.
Five.
So Tucker's now actually on an 11-year
deal. Tucker's on a 15-year deal, which Michigan State's going to take. I would think Penn State would probably take that, too, if you get five off of Franklin. How do you get a 10-year contract and then go out and lose immediately, Franklin? Of course that's what happened. But a great finish, though.
To half a team he lost
for
to.
For Mel Tucker.
Half a team.
And company, who battled through the flu in this one to go and finish strong in a year. And especially, and I think that this is something that, you know, it's going to get lost, obviously, in the smoke of the Ohio State-Michigan game here.
Sure.
But it should come back to this when people and Michigan State fans can get after it right now. To get up after what happened last week and go play another football game and win it, that's Mel Tucker's program. I mean, you talked about Harbaugh's blueprint. This is Tucker's blueprint. I am fascinated to see these two staffs go recruit at each other. I think it's going to be great. I think I was happy to see, and we talked about this, happy to see Michigan State find a way to pay Mel Tucker, find a way to pay and keep a promising coach who has a plan. You know, Mel said today, I slacked Golden. I said, you can't put this back in the box. But he said today, somebody asked him, I think, about the contract. And he was like, I think you can win a national championship here. Mel Tucker said that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't put it back in the box. But hey,
that's
the goal, right? That's what we're charging for now if you're Michigan State. So, and Michigan's charging for the same thing. This is going to be really interesting because I think you've got two coaching staffs right now that are primed to have a good message to sell in the Midwest and in the state. And I think that what we saw this year from Michigan and Michigan State in terms of competition level, I think that is something we can see every year. I think that is something we could see.
Mm.
I think we could see a Harbaugh-Tucker series that's interesting. I think we could see both these teams continue to sort of build their own identity like this. And I think that's pretty cool. That's it's different, you know? It feels different to me. There's going to be chirping and everything back and forth, I'm sure, but it feels like two confident programs who are sure of themselves, and away we go, and we're going to see what happens.
I think that's a great point you make, though, about the importance of winning this game, even if it was kind of, totally overshadowed, obviously.
Yeah, just getting up
and in Ann Arbor. But, like, to come off of that, because if you think of the alternative, right? You lose half your goddamn team to the flu.
Yeah, right.
You get a pretty decent Penn State team that comes in.
Certainly not a bad one. Yeah, they could beat you.
Now all of a sudden you've lost 3 of 4 to end the regular season. Mm-hmm. You go lose a bowl game, right? And it's just like, oh, well, that thing.
Wasn't that good.
Yeah. Right. At one point they were 8-0, whatever
and
it was,
and
beat Michigan.
Yeah, right.
They were on top of the world, and now it's just kind of pittered out and whatever. Well, now it's a 10-win season.
Right.
You go, you're going to be in a good bowl game. You know, go beat someone. Go make another statement.
Yeah.
And you just keep on building. 100%. And yeah, I mean, it really would have been, like, this is like buzzkill type shit, right?
Horrible. This would have really stung today.
Oh, man. Yeah, that would have stung.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it speaks to the consistency of Tucker. And it speaks to, you know, and all
the consistency of person.
Yeah, the
right?
person. But, and all the jokes and stuff that people were tweeting and everything during, you know, maybe Michigan State should ask for its money back during when it's 49-0 there, whatever it was at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why, this game here is why that, you know, people at Michigan State said, enough's enough. We got to find a way to pay this guy. Because if you're around him enough, you see the consistency and you see the type of person that he is perfect for that exact situation. We just got our asses kicked completely and totally, demoralized to the point of, like, I can't even get out of bed tomorrow. But this is Mel Tucker. This is where he eats. Like, we are getting out of bed tomorrow, and we're coming here, and we're doing this properly. Like, it was, to be able to come back and fight through that, I think, was, you know, especially with all the flu stuff, too. But, like, just to finish strong with a good performance. And now, like you said, you have the ultimate sort of There is nothing better for a coach in like year two or three to be able to finish a year with a win in a bowl game with 10 or 11 wins, to be able to go into the winter, finish off a recruiting class with maybe a couple kids late, get those kids back in the spring, get them rocking and rolling, and then away you go. Like, there's no better way to recruit. And I think they have a chance to do that. And you talk about closing gaps. This is when that starts for Mel Tucker and company. But I think, my friend, it just got a little harder because Michigan might have some things to sell to some folks that they haven't had to sell in a good minute. They haven't.
I'll tell you what, though.
We'll see where this goes.
If either of these programs are looking for a couple extra players, whatever,
yeah,
I'd just go after Penn State's recruits. They just lost 5-7, man.
Penn State's in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe not. Maybe this flips the other way. I don't know. Maybe Penn State.
Hilarious.
I don't know. We'll see where this goes.
Shit.
Is Ryan Day going to have to walk home, do you think? Did he have to walk home in the snow? How about that Harbaugh quote? Did we talk about this yet? The Harbaugh quote?
A little bit. We talked about it in the beginning.
Yeah, we did.
When
I saw your message about
sent me that message earlier, that was like, Jesus, did you see what Harbaugh said about Day? I thought maybe he called him hefty or something.
Good God. I don't know what Day, dude, I don't know what he said for the game.
Did you get deluged on Twitter?
Oh,
with
yeah. It was. I had to shut it off. I was like, it was immediate. It was like 2,000 retweets.
I had so many DMs, though, that were of people being
shit.
Like,
yeah, right.
And Nick calling Ryan Day fat was was a all-time podcast highlight. And yes, it was incredible.
But isn't that what happened? Like, it was like, hey, man, let's see what you got. Don't screw it up, Ryan.
Oh, buddy. And he blinked.
He blinked. You're damn right he blinked. And hey, I put the quote in there in the story today, or tonight. Urban, at the end of 2018, giving that interview to that Columbus TV station, I can't imagine what it would be like to lose this game. How would you even go out to eat in Columbus?
Oh.
End quote. Well...
Ask Ryan Day.
Ryan Day is going to have that answer for you, Urban, here pretty soon, I would imagine. Unless he doesn't eat outside his house.
They're out. Like, they have no chance of the playoffs?
Yeah, they're done. I think they're going to go to the Rose Bowl, I think. And beat the living shit out of someone in the Rose Bowl. They're going to win the Rose Bowl 200-0, I would have to guess. I would not want to play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl if I were whoever that is. Utah, maybe?
That's fair.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going. Michigan State, that's a good question. I actually would have to take more time on that one. I don't know, because they're not going to go ahead of Ohio State. Yeah. I don't know what would happen there. I think that would maybe depend on Michigan's result. Maybe if Michigan goes to the playoff, they would then go to like the Orange Bowl or Fiesta Bowl or something like that. So I think it seems like, I would guess, without knowing, I mean, if I'm wrong, people will tell me, but I think that at 10-2, they're looking at... a New Year's Six game for Mel Tucker in year two, which is ridiculous.
Sure.
I mean, absolutely ridiculous to think about that. So, you know, as ridiculous. That's the crazy thing. These are two teams that went through two as ridiculous turnarounds, like, at once. And it's like, what the? Yeah, there are still days where you're just like, is this totally happening right now? Like, just a crazy time. But, yeah, on it
goes. Who would you like to see Michigan State play?
In a bowl game?
Pick a team. Yeah, just for shits and gigs.
Like a good.
They might see Pittsburgh.
You know what?
Get a little Narduz.
No, they won't see. I guess Alabama's gonna maybe go to the playoff, right? Alabama's going to the playoff.
I would think so.
That would have been one that would have been interesting.
You got to go into that middle of the
Clemson
pack.
Wouldn't be interesting either. I wouldn't want that. I would want like.
Texas A&M?
Like one of those, like, a good SEC team, you know, to see where you're at there. Like, because I think that...
Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon was another one that I was thinking on top of my head. Not that everyone's going to get the Red Box Bowl flashbacks, but this would be a better game. But I think it's like, I would like to see them play a team that tests some of the areas, like, up front, right? To see really who you've got, like, to see who you can count on going forward, because the big challenge for Michigan State now going forward is their offensive line. You know, they got by this year with a special running back and an offensive line that was better, but still has a long way to go, I think, in terms of depth and building and everything else. Like, they've got to get better in the lines and replace some guys that are going to be going too. So you know, I'd like to see them play a team that tests that, and I'd like to see maybe even some younger guys get some time in this game for Michigan State, right? To see where they're at, you know, going forward, because that's going to be important for them, you know, as we turn the page here to next season.
Maybe a little Brady Hoke, little his and his Aztecs just lined it up.
Well, there you go. Brady Hoke against Michigan State. How about that? That's not a little... that wouldn't be boring.
No, I agree with you. SEC team would be sweet. Yeah. I'm thinking like an A&M or an Ole Miss would be pretty cool.
Well,
this cool. would be
fun, yeah. Well, they'd probably throw for 700 yards, but, you know. One way or the other.
That's a good point. That's a good
point. All right, that's enough for tonight.
Yeah, man. I'm going to go sleep till
Congrats
Monday.
Congrats to all the folks out there. I know this has been a long decade or whatever. Whatever the hell this has
I did mean to
been.
Say that.
Yeah, right. So it's been, what, like, 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, something like that? I don't know.
I think for both sides, like Michigan State getting that win over Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan getting this win over Ohio State, like
kind of perfect there. Huh? You know, everybody got something.
We poke fun at the like loudmouth assholes and like people that piss us off, right? Among fans or whatever. But like the vast majority, certainly anyone listening to this, are like reasonable minded folk who you know are probably would have beers with us, right, and have a great time and shit. And for like for those people on both sides, like.
Talk your shit.
I definitely speak for you. Happy for everyone to be able to enjoy this season this way, especially after last year.
Talk your shit is what I would say to those people.
Goddamn
you've earned it. You have been through it all, one way or the other. Talk your shit. You've earned it. Yes. Let's get out of here, sign off, and head into
Awesome. All right. So, congrats, everyone. And tip your bartenders and servers.